floor's all yours. Tell us what you...
Back on August 28th, I sent a letter to the three commissioners outlining our zoning designation recommendations. We had gone through regulations of several first-class counties in Missouri and came up with a list of zoning designations that we felt best handled the needs of Tama County. Most of these, actually I guess all of these, came from either Greene County or Buchanan County. So that's what this is based on. Of course, we have our generic breakdown of agricultural, residential, industrial, commercial, and then inside that we have several different, more detailed breakdowns. Would you like me to go through each one?
Well, I reviewed it, so I'm just up to these guys.
Okay. Yeah, I took a look at it when I got it, so.
Basically, what I did, looking at, for example, the residential, rather than having one residential designation, broke it up into five. First being rural residential, which would be like the name says, a more rural setting, 1 acre minimum, gives the landowner more freedom to do what they want on a parcel that's not really a farm. Then you go to R1, which is single family, more subdivision type homes. R2 would be single family or duplexes, which would allow for smaller lots for the single family. Multifamily would be, R3 would be more condos, apartments, that type of thing, and then manufactured home designation. The reason we broke it up like this is generally people who have a single family residence don't want apartments next to them, don't want mobile homes next to them. This allows you to group the similar uses in together.
Let me just throw in just for a second here, guys. We were trying to reach a happy medium on the number of designations. There are, Greene County, for instance, has quite a few more than this. And there are some that have less. We're not married to this. You know, this is just something that seemed like a good place to start. It may be exactly what you're looking for. It may be too many or it may not be enough. But we were trying to start out with what we consider to be a good starting place. Give some protection at the same time.
I think one of the first questions we had, or the first concerns we had, obviously we have very diverse county. Yes. We have an eastern and the western district, which are, right. I mean, there's a lot of differences when it comes to real estate size. One of the concerns I'm not speaking for today, but just to bring up for conversation, was how do we deal with the family farm that wants to have, they want to carve off 5 acres for a son and 5 acres for another son, and not get too restrictive on that type of. Right now, there's almost zero restrictions, right, or near zero. Mm-hmm. And how do we, would those be in that scenario like an AR? Is that what you're talking about, agricultural residential?
It would be.
Which gives them a lot of flexibility, but they're still zoned.
Yeah.
But it gets what we're trying to get to.
It's more restrictive than the current, though. You're requiring 5 acre minimum for somebody to carve off for their child, whereas now they can carve off 2 acres and give
it to
their
child.
We can
do it to two.
We can adjust this. This is just a place to start.
Right.
We recognize the difference in the east side of the county and the mm-hmm. west side of the county, and we have a much more urban setting and a more rural setting. And in our initial thinking, we thought, well, perhaps we can have an ordinance that, or a regulation that that in essence is like two different ones. But then we started hearing comments that led us to believe, well, that may not be legal. So we thought, well, how can we do this within one that would provide that flexibility and, you know, that you need in order to do that. So that's what we want to do. You know, we want to make this as easily accepted by the public as possible. And I'm not saying that necessarily this is the best thing. This is what we came up with, looking at all those. And mainly as a starting point to change wherever you want to make a change.
And adding on to that, from what I perceive or view, the eastern part of the county would generally be in one of those first three districts.
That's how I see it.
Either the agricultural residential, or the rural residential, which are all going to be lesser restrictive. As far as lot size goes, you've got to have an acre anyway for septic. So, you know, you're not restricting any more than they're already restricted.
Well, yeah, let me throw one out. A scenario I see a lot of, though, along the major thoroughfares on the eastern side, and I can take Highway 76 as an example in Kirbyville. Mm-hmm. We've got warehouses, Victorian Heart. They got a bunch of warehouses in. That would be considered either light industrial, probably. So that would be, but that could be adjacent to residential or agricultural. When you say sufficient yard depth, what are you talking about? Just setbacks?
Yes.
When you say something like that, is that huge numbers, less number?
No. Sufficient yard depth. You don't want a warehouse going right up to the property line.
So right.
We're talking probably 25 feet.
Okay. Because that's where I see the scenario. I see it along, like, 76 or along any major thoroughfare. There's, you know, there may be some warehouses put up that are offices, or they may be like storage units. Where would they fall within here? If they were like a store, you know.
Storage units would probably either be I-1 or one of the commercials, C-1 or C-2, probably C-1.
I mean, I'm just trying to apply what we've got right now. Mm-hmm. And from the eastern side, I mean, it's very restricted on the west side because you've got so much that's incorporated from Hollister and Branson anyway. But on the eastern side, we've got larger tracts of land, and you've got some businesses along the major thoroughfares, but you don't have the concentration of commercial like you do on the western side.
And it's my understanding that the zoning, the initial zoning would be based on land use. So you're not going to go in, if somebody has warehouses, you're not going to come in and say, this needs to be agricultural, you got to get rid of it.
You can't anyway, it'd be a prior non-conforming use, so they would have a right to
right.
it, so you might as well zone it
yeah.
what it is, an existing
and
use.
And what we're trying to do is just reclassify what they've got to the new classification terms,
right.
and not really restrict what they've by a classification, restrict what they're doing with it.
No, not at all.
But just reclassify it into a term that we all agree upon.
Right. Zone it
right.
what it's being presently.
Right. We're not going to change right. zoning. We're
right.
going to, and if there's in those small parcels we talked about earlier, a long time ago, and those small few parcels where it's a split use, we would give them the opportunity to decide
yes.
which is they which way do they want to be zoned,
right. or do they want to change it?
Right.
Well, if there's a split use, if you zoned it that, in such a way that it allowed both,
right,
you'd
take the higher.
Then you'd
well,
be done with it.
In our mapping portion of this contract, we saw a lot that were a residence and a store on the same lot.
Okay.
And the way this is set up, there's not one use that would cover or one designation that would cover both.
So you can. But you said something, Bob. You can zone it two categories. One.
I mean, if we're talking about Euclidean planning and zoning, basically an upside down pyramid.
Okay.
You start off if you're only allowed agricultural, very small. But in the next one, say it's residential, you can do residential or agricultural. And then the next one, if it is commercial, you can use residential, agricultural, and commercial. And at the top tier, you can use, if it's industrial, you can do everything that's less onerous, you can do, okay, along with that most onerous use.
Okay.
But certainly if it's commercial, you can't do industrial, but you can do residential. If it's residential, you can't do commercial or industrial.
Well,
so it includes everything. Now, you can make it so that if it's commercial, you can't do residential in that area, but that doesn't always make a lot of sense. But with industrial, it does. I mean, you may not want residential out there with industrial for some reason. I don't know. But generally, it's kind of, I'll call it a cumulative zoning, okay, rather than Euclidean.
Do you, have I missed out? Do you have a land use map?
We delivered that. We don't have it with us. We gave it to the GIS.
We gave that to Patsy Alexander.
Yeah. Okay. Have you reviewed it?
I haven't seen the map.
I haven't either. And I think
we'll get that.
She may have sent.
What I would like to do is look at it
Okay. Before
we get into. I thought that was what we were going to do before we got into much more conversation about this, to see where
she sent to us, and she sent us an email saying that she had received it from you guys on August 25th, and that she was waiting for direction from us.
Can she bring a copy down?
That's
right
what
now?
It says right there. Just let me know what you would like me to do, like this displayed for reviewing. How you want this displayed for your reviewing is what she said.
Okay. That's what I would like to look at, study, make sure that, to see how you evaluated. I'm thinking that, do you have those listed as this list is now?
No.
We split those up into residential, agricultural, commercial, industrial.
Okay.
That's what you have down the land use.
Yes. Okay. Yes. No breakdown of residential, no breakdown of anything,
okay.
Just
subcategories.
If it's called residential.
This is an existing use map only. You haven't created any zones that are additional.
And that's what I understood that we were going to do from the very beginning. We're going to look at land use, then we were going to evaluate the proper transportation, utility type situations that were available to that area. And then, if you guys, and I'm not going to be in support of it, but I know that I'll probably be outvoted, but then you guys will look and see if those cases as that land use, utility, transportation, all that, before you go to looking at R2, R3, Q1, 0, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You would look at those before you would ever consider this. Just as we always have came back to, just take the east-west corridor, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and what you would decide that you were going to do if you were going to apply your zoning regulations to that east-west corridor. We need to look at the transportation to where it lays, where it comes into that, what's available, what's going to be most use. I guess that's what we asked you to look at, was a map that would put that into perspective.
Of the existing use?
I think what I'm hearing you say, would maybe I'm misinterpreting you, Danny, but I'm thinking what you're saying is for proposed uses. See, we're not
after
it's a planning document as well.
Well, let me just say what we understood, and then if we're wrong, then I'm glad to find out. What I understood was that we were to do a map of existing uses, but not breaking it down into these subcategories. Just, you know, if it's either agricultural or it's residential or commercial, then, and that's what we gave.
Okay, we're one step behind you. I think you're headed in a direction. We haven't reviewed what we asked you to do yet.
Okay.
And so it's going to be hard for us to... I see where you're going now, but I want to go back to the map itself to see where the existing usage
is. Let me just say one more thing. what we were thinking we were doing was, once you guys decide what designations you were interested in having, then we were going to go back and look at what's there now and produce a map of existing uses with these designations. See?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being just residential, it might be R1, R2.
After looking at this, and see, I felt like I'd been left out of a meeting somehow. It's because I hadn't looked at the land usage map. I hadn't studied myself, and I don't know whether that'll be a commission. I know we'll be involved, but I don't know whether that's a commission decision or what. But we'll have to look at land usage and look at, I wanted to look at it in numbers as far as what future utilities, transportation, everything that might be applied to a certain land mass or might be available already, how you would classify it, you know, put it in one of these classification areas.
And just clarification, we didn't hire these guys to do anything future. We just said existing use.
Existing use, exactly.
So, to overlay utilities and make making recommendations of what you would zone it.
I think that's what you guys are going to try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
well, all I want to do is get it reason. All I want to do is, if it's agriculture now, I want to overlay it with one of these new terms, and we're there. That's all. I'm not trying to get anything rezoned. I just want to overlay it with a legal proper zoning classification of existing use. That's all I'm trying to get to.
So your map, but you have designated general areas as agriculture and commercial.
We have
not particular properties, but areas. Is that
no,
right?
Sir, we
have
parcels.
It's parcels.
But you haven't gone as far as putting what Jim just said.
The subclasses.
Right, because we don't have them yet. See,
gotcha.
All we had so far is agriculture, residential, commercial, institutional, and industrial.
Right. We only had five.
Yeah. And it may be that some of those residentials would really be R4. It may be a high-rise condo. But it still just says R. So if we know what designations you guys are looking to go to, then we go back to that map and we figure out each parcel. Is it R1, R4, or whatever? And then we bring you a map, all present use. No future.
Yeah, we're not doing any future.
No, nothing. Just present land use.
Yeah.
So that you could zone it according to its present use with no change.
Right.
So what's the next step for us?
Identify these classifications.
What you just said.
Which
one of these we want.
That map that shows existing right now, according to whatever designations you choose, this is what is here now.
Why would you have?
Yeah, I understand that you got a general classification, and you got more than what I think Taney County will need.
Let's cut them out. I mean, if we're
Look, if you bring me a map and I look at it, there might be one on here or two on here that I could look and consider because of certain usage now.
Right.
That I would want to leave that particular category in there, mm-hmm. Whereas if we start just cutting it down, I might just say, well, cut that out of there. But then there, we come to the map, and here shows that. It's like you said, you got a business. One of the ideal things that we talked about is where we've got industrial, commercial, and residential all in a half a mile of each other. So.
And what we did, Danny, there were some just like that. They had three designations on one parcel,
mm-hmm.
by the assessor's office. So what we did, we actually went to that parcel and we figured out what portion of that parcel was used for each use.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this map that Patsy has now shows. It's not zoned. It's not really anything else. It's just said, okay, if you've got a parcel out there that the tax roll shows as commercial use and residential use and agriculture, what is actually happening there? So we went out and we looked, And we said, well, this portion of this parcel is the portion that's being used for this, this, and this. And we divided that parcel into multiple parcels.
Would there be any chance of getting that, well, we could look at it on the screen as we discuss the ones that we want to eliminate?
We sure can.
Mobile home, MH1.
Yes.
We got a lot of mobile homes.
Sure.
In the county. Your MH1 is strictly a grouping or a subdivision.
Single-family residence, you could have a mobile home for your single-family residence without violating this code, or is that not the case?
I would say yes, you can. Probably more likely on an R2, which is less restrictive than an R1. But the MH1 is intended to be a mobile home park or RV park.
And that's because of the concentration of mobile homes.
Yes.
I'm thinking of this scenario off of Kirbyville, 76, where you've got there's a concentration of them, but I don't think it's an official park, is it? It's just a concentration of mobile homes
individual lots?
I'm not sure.
I don't think they are individual lots.
I got both.
Well, in this scenario, I'm talking about, there. It's not individual lots.
Okay. I would say in that case,
it would be an MH1. Okay. See, that would be a good thing for this thing, because then we could restrict things like that happening without us knowing about the infrastructure. Because we don't know about the infrastructure of these.
But that particular deal you're talking about is about the inside the city limits.
No, it's not, actually.
It's not?
No. Okay. I checked.
It's in the county. We got an eyesore happening, and we can't control it.
Right.
We're good with this.
But are you guys in agreement with me? Because we haven't looked at a map.
Huh.
I'd like to look at a map to decide which one of these we want to cut.
Or if any.
Right.
Well, this is your deal. I mean, you do this stuff. I don't. Do you think these fit? I mean, you surely do. You wouldn't have brought them to us.
I think they fit, but you all are much more qualified to know what Taney County, or what's best for Taney County. This is what, you know, I spent 2 weeks driving around the county looking at the different parcels here.
Oh, she's not here. Okay.
And I can see parcels that fit into each one of these uses.
I mean, I think what we're going to have to do, I mean, I've been around the zoning enough to know that this is about as skinny as you want to get with having some control. My challenge would be where some of these businesses lie. You know, trying to make sure that I understand, like mobile homes or storage units, making sure we say this specific storage unit on this specific stretch of road, how would this be zoned with existing use, and see how we overlay this with that to make sure there's no conflicts there, because there's going to be some areas that would probably be the best litmus test, is to see if we've got, if this applies across the whole board, if we have to clarify that.
Are there uses out there that aren't covered?
Right. And if they aren't covered, we need to roll that use into here somehow.
Right. And Jim, I think that's part of our next phase, was to create a zoning ordinance based on these designations.
Right.
And just for reference, this right here is a portion of the Greene County zoning ordinance that outlines the uses in each district. You don't want that for Taney County.
There's 100 pages that just describe the designations.
Now the
describe each one of these in detail.
Right.
Not these.
Not these,
but
the
ones
but
in Greene County.
That they
in Greene County, takes 100 pages to describe.
And you're going to need those. Eventually, you're going to need those.
And that's,
I come to you and I say, okay, I'm in R3. What can I build?
Right.
Well, you can build the following. Well, how would you classify this building that I want to build? Is it this or is it this? And,
right.
I mean, but you're going to have to define this stuff.
But these other advantages, we could then say this type of business, say it's a brothel or something like that. We could put that in industrial or you know, that's how I know in Fayetteville, when I used to live in Washington County, they reclassified strip clubs. They put them in heavy industrial. So they kept them out of the streets. They kept them out of the neighborhoods. Because industrial says you can't be adjacent to residential. You can't be adjacent to
certain classifications, and that's how they're able to control certain businesses within that community.
You control where they are. You can't control, if it's a legal business, you can't say you can never have this business in our county, but you sure can make it in a place where you think it's not going to do as much harm, or where maybe somebody may not want to build one of those.
Right, so that's really the next thing is to kind of maybe pick out some areas in the county that are real, a lot of mixed usages, and maybe kind of see what these guys, how we would do an existing use. Because I mean, we all can think of spots in the county that's like, there's six different uses within an acre.
Well, using your example, do we have something here to zone those? Strip club?
Is there,
how would you do that?
He hasn't included anything in there, but you would have an entertainment district, and if it's an entertainment district, if it's within a certain definition, you would say that that thing, whatever it is, cannot be within a certain number of feet of a school, a church, and cannot be outside of an industrial one district. It has to be at least an I-1, I-2, or I-3. It can't be in any of the other districts. So then they'd have to go to wherever it's industrial, so they'd be away from homes and where there's factories and storage units and that sort of thing, and they'd have to locate it there if they were going to locate it at all.
Information would be in the code? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be in the allowable uses, for each designation.
Yeah. Right. The zoning document will have primary uses, which would outline definitely what can go in there, and then they'll have conditional use items where you all would actually vote on whether that's allowed or not.
Why wouldn't we go for this, and then in the code, issues like that and other things that you were talking about earlier, you
we
would use the code to put them in?
I mean,
that's just a question.
I'm comfortable with these, but I've been around zoning before, so this is pretty self-explanatory and pretty simple. I mean, it's about as small as you can go without. I mean, you got the industrial, you got commercial.
But again, it's bare bones, and you may want to change some of the details, such as the 5-acre minimum. Right now, it's a 2-acre minimum. Why would you want to make it tougher for the farmers to have?
So that would be one thing. I would probably agree with that. Want to make it a 2-acre minimum, because that's what we do now.
And we've got the ability to do a 1-acre under one of these residential districts, and you don't need sewer. And right now, we have a 2-acre minimum in the county, unless you have central sewer.
If I could make a recommendation based on what I hear, that maybe you just meet with our planning and zoning and try and compare what we currently have with, because some of these basic things that you're talking about, our definitions are different than what these are.
And sure.
Just to line them up, to get them lined up and correlated. And I think after all of this, in getting the map and finding the definitions you want, we're still going to find parcels of property within Taney County
That don't fit.
Well, and there is, but what we're trying to do is get 95 or 98% done with this, and then we'll just have to do a case by case on those 1 or 2%. Hopefully it's not hundreds and hundreds, but maybe it's tens and twenties.
There, what you're talking about, those trailers, you know, that was approved for a horse race track at one time, voted on by the people, and approved for a horse race track. Now we have trailers strung alongside the road. That's quite a difference.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I have difficulty. You're going to find me moving slow in this process. When we find large tracts of land that are proposed for, like the racetrack that the automobile racetrack that was approved by planning and zoning that lays within, well, there's 1,500 residents out in that area that were complaining about it. So those kind of things are you're going to find me moving real slow for acceptance of certain types of zoning.
Sure, and the purpose of the zoning is to hopefully prevent situations like that.
You know, if just take for instance, I buy 5 acres in an area that's already residential, or I take 5 acres that's sitting right out in the middle of a bunch of commercial stuff that's around the sides of it. I can see that you might want to be able to tell me that I couldn't use certain things in that area because people have their dollars invested. But I'm just going to use 1,000 acres, for example, and I've got 1,000 acres out here. I'm pretty, then I hear Bob say, well, all you got to do is come before planning and zoning, and they might rezone you into whatever you wanted. Well, they might not. It's not their bucks that paid for the thing.
They might not now either, though. Right now, you can only build a 2-acre family home, and that's it, or have agriculture on any given piece of property. Anything else that you want to do, you have to come before planning and zoning right now and ask for permission. So it's nothing different than what we've got right now. And it might be better because you'll know some other things that you can do besides just a 2-acre, you know, home. But right now you have to come before planning and zoning, I believe.
I understand that as Taney County's policy now, but I understand that we're trying to get ourselves into a situation to keep out of what happened in Stone County.
Right. This alone would get us real close to getting out of the problem because we actually have true zoning district. This is true zoning. So just adopting this with a new code book would get us out of the problem because we don't have an east and a west district. We have a traditional subclasses like we're supposed to. But like the racetrack, for example, where would you guys put a racetrack?
I'd put under industrial.
Heavy or light? Probably heavy, wouldn't you?
Probably heavy.
See, that way, would that what that have done? They couldn't put that adjacent to any of the residential houses out there.
Well, then you'd have to define adjacent. Right now, adjacent out there is 1,200 to 1,500 feet to the closest residential.
Well, we'd have to, that's part of the thing, but we'd have to classify what we're talking about. But I'm telling you, we could have, if the proper zoning's in place, we can control where the racetracks go. We could say, I'm sorry, racetracks only go into the airport zoning district. If we wanted it bound by the airport because the noise, because we don't have a noise ordinance, but we know airports are noisy, so we could say all racetracks have to be in the airport zoning district. Well, then that would have prevented it from where it is right now, if that's what we wanted to do it, and that would have helped solve two problems. So that's kind of the situation is that I think that track should be down by the airport. I think I've made it very clear to everyone. I think I've heard that from other people. The noise is already out there. Roads are out there. There's not residential out there anyway. So, but I really think, you know, like Frank mentioned, we need to get you guys in front of Eddie Coxey and just start going through this with him and have a little work session with overlaying it.
You know, that's an interesting part of it, is you take a map of existing use and you take an overlay of what you might. My whole thought process on this is totally different than everybody else's, and I understand that. But you take existing use map, and then you take what would remind me of it would be like a plastic overlay of what could go in this area, and you pull it down over that existing use, and you see if it matches up in any way, fashion, or form with what you would have in that particular area. If it didn't, then you would maybe start looking at these classifications to see how they would work in that area. Then, you know, you might not even get your answer. Then you take and even broaden your scale and take another overlay and lay it on top of the two existing overlays, and you look until you can finally match it with this set of regulations. And I think that's something that would be satisfactory to my constituents in the eastern side of the county. I don't think that I can take and say, you know, this is your property and you're restricted
to the existing use. What you're saying is plan what would make sense for the future and make that whole area whatever that is.
Have a public hearing on it.
I understand what Danny's saying. That makes a lot of sense.
That's what you're supposed to do.
What I wonder about then, what if we, if you guys were happy with this as a start, if we proceeded to more acutely define the present uses by these categories, then that would flesh out areas that don't fit these categories. In other words, if we see a use and we go through here and it ain't there, then we say, well, we got to add something. So we could go through and try to see if everything can fit in one of these. If it doesn't, then we define what additionals we need.
If you just have aberrations out there, though, you really don't need to. What you can do is have whatever district it is all around there and have that as a prior non-conforming use.
But we still need to have designations that fit everything that's existing. Don't you think?
No.
You don't?
No, I think you need to do the best you can to do that.
Yeah.
But if you have an area that's all residential, it's all houses through there, and then you've got some entity there, you can't quite describe what it is. It's commercial, residential.
It would be a non-conforming, but we should be able to zone it for what it is.
Why not just have the whole area residential and have that as a non-conforming, prior non-conforming use?
And, yeah.
And when it burns down and there's nothing left there, all they can do is what's there in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. But what
if you can't describe it
along later that wants to do that in a location that's proper, shouldn't there be a designation in the ordinance that allows that?
Well, you should have as thorough categories as you can so it takes in all possible uses or whatever. But there are always going to be some uses out there that you're going to have to kind of try to fit into one of the categories. That's why you have a board of adjustment who says that the zoning official is wrong when he says I can't do that in this district. It's not exactly in the code, but it's most like this.
Yeah, but back to Frank, what Frank said. Then the biggest thing that we would need to do is the reason I wanted to look at a map first is to find out adjacent to the distance that would be allowed for changes in zoning. Now, there's been some things take place in planning and zoning that I didn't agree with. And one of them laid right out there by you, Bob, was whenever a guy wanted to put that barbecue place in on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right next door to him, you had a sign company. Right across the road, you had a hair salon and something else there in that little walnut bowl deal. And then right up the road, you had a tool rental. He was a commercial business, and it was thrown out here in this planning and zoning because it was too close to residential. I want to know what the distance is. Is it not across the street? Is it 1,200 feet or whatever? That's the reason I'd like to have a map and have an overlay that these gentlemen could present to us of what, look, we've got commercial, residential, and industrial in this area. And they pull it down over that overlay of what's existing now. And you've tried to figure out what could go in that area. And how far away can you start residential? Or how far away can you start commercial from a residential area?
But that makes sense.
Like from setbacks perspective? Or
well, sure, but I mean, when you're talking about adjacent too.
Right.
But that's when you get changes in zoning. Over time, you may have a commercial area here and a residential right next to it, but the commercial develops all the way to the edge of the commercial and gets so commercial in the area that even the adjoining residential area needs to be rezoned commercial because the commercial's busting at the seams. That's how you get changes in planning and zoning.
So...
in zoning
times maps. Moving right along. Do we want to do what we're suggesting?
I guess.
Ready to do that?
Can we not just say go with these?
That's what I think.
As a first start.
As a first start, so you can start having these overlay conversation with Eddie and start getting this and put on a new existing use map.
Yeah, to better define the present use.
Yep. Yep. Where are we at cost wise? Where are we at on the
contract?
Contract.
Is this within the contract scope?
Doing.
I believe that's
from
all
what I
recall.
This right here was phase two of the contract, which was giving zoning designation recommendations.
Okay.
Phase three was putting together a zoning document based on these. And that was as far as we got on the contract.
So you document the map.
Phase, there is, the contract goes beyond.
Well, as far as what you all approved.
We approved what, 1, 2, and 3, or just 1 and 2?
I thought they approved the whole thing.
We approved.
Well, the price.
But up to?
Up to a certain phase. We stopped at a certain phase.
Well, what I remembered was that you guys did not want us to go into the future at all. That you wanted us to define the present.
Do you have the contract?
I don't.
Okay. What I would like you to do is just, based off what we're asking, okay, tell us if that's within the scope of what the contract is signed for. Because I think our motion was 1, 2, and 3, or 1 and 2. I cannot remember. And then that way we can see where we are financially to see, you know, I'm not saying we're going to stop the process, but just I want to make sure, are we spending more than we've allocated through a motion?
Gotcha. Yeah, we can do that.
But you know where we're at, the next step then?
Right. Like I said, I would rather table it till I looked at the map. That was the work that they'd done to present to us. And it's not their fault that we haven't looked at it. I mean, it's our fault that we haven't looked at the mapping of existing use. I was going to use that mapping of existing usage as a tool for transportation.
But how would the map that they provided to Patsy do any value? All it does is say what we're doing, what our current zoning is on an existing map. It doesn't apply any of this to the existing
use. Not yet it doesn't. But that doesn't mean this couldn't apply in a week.
Well, I guess my question, are you good with these classifications? Is really the next question.
That was what I told them. Until I see it laid out until I see the map and the classifications.
You can't do the map until we agree to this.
He's got only 5 classifications or something
and
like that.
And you already got that done, but that's what our existing use is.
Right.
This is not overlaid on it because you got to know what this is.
But that'll still just be existing use.
Right. I'm not talking about future use, but I'm just saying we got to agree to this to overlay, to do your overlays you're talking about. We have to say this is good. And I'm fine with it, so I'm good with this.
Still in a meeting.
And if we don't like it, we can always say, let's do away with this subclass and merge it with this class.
I mean, I want to make sure it fulfills the. I want to make sure that we don't get a.
There's some details in this that aren't exactly right. I mean, you need to look at these and decide whether these are fine. Generally, I think you all agree that these look fine as general rule, but specifically, I don't know that you've agreed to that.
So, what do we have to do to continue those guys on? Because if we don't agree to something right now, we'll table it. 3 days from now, we'll say, I forgot what we talked about.
Okay.
We won't do anything.
Let's just post it for next week or something
and,
like
and
that.
And do what? Look. What are we going to talk about?
Go through one by one and say, is this a good district? Do you agree with this district? Do you agree with this? Do you agree with this? And then when you get all done, you agree with it all?
Yeah. This presentation
sent
to me today, set before this commission to make a recommendation on these things. I haven't had time to look at it, to study it, to tell you. That's not the engineer's fault. That's my fault.
Okay.
And the map that was laid out for local usage, I mean, current usage, I haven't looked at it.
Okay.
I want to look at it. I would like to table it for a week or what, if you want to set a date, Jim, so that you feel more secure about
I'm very
doing
secure. To see here.
I mean, I'm talking about you feeling secure about the process that you want to see achieved.
Right, let me look here.
Dean, when we get that map for you, is it something you want projected?
I'd like to have it up there where we could see it so it's big enough that we could...
Exactly.
We're probably going to need to break it down because...
By section.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
If you show the whole county, you can't see anything.
Yeah, you'll have to be able to...
Well, if Patsy's got it incorporated into...
She's on vacation today, so we don't know.
Right.
She won't back tomorrow.
Right. But if she has that incorporated... Then we can pull it up on the computer, project it there, and zoom in on areas rather than printing out.
Yeah. Well, I would say that
heavy growth, future heavy growth areas, and I think that it'll be useful for what you've done. Forget about what this right now.
Okay.
Right.
But for what you've done, the value that the county will receive out of it for fast-growing areas, future development, transportation and utility needs, all those things on that map will show us in which direction the growth in the county is. We can start deciding how we want to apply these to that area. Am I about halfway off on or what you're thinking about?
I understand about half of it, but I understand that we need to go ahead and spend a little more time and have another work session. I would like you guys to meet with Eddie before then.
Okay.
And go through, and so you have a clearer understanding, or a very clear understanding that he understands what we're doing, and you understand what how
is existing.
Existing, so that we all come back together with Eddie, and hopefully next week, and then go through this whole thing.
Can Frank meet with them?
Sure.
In that capacity, and then that way you kind of hear what we say, and
right.
And you
at
get
the same
Eddie
time,
in.
Would you guys check the contract to see, make sure that we're within the scope? I just want to make sure that if we're outside the scope, we need to make another decision. Let's make our decision. So,
what I remember is that we approved everything, even the future. But it's very clear that you guys could stop us at any point along the way.
We didn't approve at all.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that when it went to public hearings, that was one of the steps in there.
This is the latest one, though.
Is it signed?
No. This is probably what
this is make sure that for your sake, for the hours spent.
Yeah.
And if not, then we just need to vote on it and go keep on going. So.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right.
So we just need to figure out a time that we can meet with you guys.
Frank, would you coordinate with Eddie and those guys? And then I'll send a note to Nikki to get something scheduled next week for that.
Okay.
All right.
Just so that there's clarification, I'd like to make an example of the R3 as you currently have it defined. Mm-hmm. R3 is up to, bottom sentence, up to 4 units per acre. Right now I'm seeing things like 6 and 8. We are permitting 6 and 8 units per acre in some of our things. So I would want to allow for that type of scenario. That's just one example. But so as these classifications or definitions are defined, I want to match them up with what we're currently doing so that we're not far off base on any of it.
Yeah, and many cities have R24.
Right.
You know, so what you could do at R, whatever the highest one is, R3, R4?
Then the next step.
Four or
more. Right.
My suggestion is
whatever you want.
Right. Yeah. Right now, this agricultural residential district, our rules is basically 2-acre lot, not a 5-acre lot. And I just want to... My hope is that Eddie can say, this zoning district won't make sense because this is what is out there in the county.
But again, it's reviewing and looking at these.
At this, so that we can say we agree on these terms.
Right.
Right.
And then after they do that.
We can all come back and
then we'll be ready.
But we'll meet next week to make sure.
Yeah. If we can tweak these with Frank and Eddie's help, then we come back with an amended set. And that still won't be the final because we know we're going to find things when we get out there that don't fit. And we define what those are, and then we add whatever we need to add to make it fit, and then we come back and you guys look at that.
Sounds like a plan. Okay.
All right, Nikki will be getting with you.
Right.
And apologize for the fact that we haven't reviewed the...
No apology report.
Just add this.
All right,
thank you guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Do we want to walk down there now?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Okay, next is our school.
Right here.
Does anybody know what that's about?
Right here.
I know it's in front of us.
I move that we accept the Branson School District into the Taney County Natural Hazard Mitigation Plan. Is that what you're here for?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Tell us about why we're doing this.
Okay, well... I think as you guys remember, earlier in September, we submitted an application on behalf of Branson Public School to FEMA for a hazard mitigation grant to build a FEMA safe room at the Cedar Ridge campus. And we've received comments back on our application now. And it looks like it's going to get funded, probably 90% of the chance it's going to get funded.
Which is wonderful.
We should know within the next couple of months. It's a $1.5 million grant. But anyway, one of the comments they said was that in reviewing the hazard mitigation plan for the county, it included the county and the incorporated areas within the county. But since the school district is its own, I don't remember the specific word, but it's their own form of government entity,
that they would need to be included in your plan. They would have to accept your plan, and you would have to accept them into your plan. So they've accepted your plan, and we're asking you to add them to your plan so that they'd be eligible for the FEMA grant. And so I sent down here a draft letter for you guys to consider to do that. I sent it to Nick. Yeah, we got it. And then there's the letter from the school there where they're accepting your plan, and then part of that the Fermat was just to deal with, you have to show that it's not in the floodplain, so I sent that as well.
So where does that, so my motion to accept them,
include them in your
mitigation plan. Did you get that, Jim? Okay, that's my motion.
Got a question. I'll second your motion.
Okay.
The school is in the city limits, but the property they're looking at putting the center on is not in the city limits?
It's in the city limits. It is in the city limits, but
why isn't it in their hazard plan? Well, don't they have a plan?
Just the documentation that their Branson is incorporated into your plan.
Okay.
So you have one plan that addresses incorporated Taney County and all the cities and villages.
Okay.
It was adopted in June 2005. You're probably in the process of amending it or getting ready to amend it because you can do that every 5 years, but.
So any political subdivision in any governmental entity in Taney County would have to be included in the county's plan?
Yes, and especially and definitely to receive this grant, they'd have to be included. So we're asking you to include them.
Humor me just another second. Mm-hmm. If this isn't in the county, why isn't it already in our plan? Isn't the whole county in our plan?
Well, what FEMA's saying, there's a distinction since they are a government entity.
Institution.
That they would have to be listed by name to be a part of your plan.
Okay. That helps.
True.
Anything else?
That's the only question, though. That's the only reason that
there's a school.
That's the only reason it's coming before us, because it's already within the city limits of Branson, which already has a plan. County has a plan. So that's the only reason is because that they're a school.
Is their classification really? Because their plan, Branson School is our, Branson's plan is our plan, but since they're a school or an institution, we have to officially list them as included.
Yeah, and from what I can gather, any other school that wanted to get FEMA funding would have to do the same thing in the future as well. And maybe other institutions, you know, that are government bodies, like, for example, the sewer district, mayor, I don't know.
Western Taney County Fire, any political subdivision or governmental entity in the county would come in and ask to be included in our plan if they wanted to get funds.
Right. Ready to vote?
I am ready.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Appreciate it.
Motion carries.
On that, getting that letter executed, is that, what's the schedule on that?
I'll tell Nikki to put it on letterhead.
You want me to hang out, or
why don't you go upstairs and have her put it on letterhead and walk it back in?
Okay, I'll do it.
You don't need me, so I can go talk to him.
We don't need you. I asked Linda to squeeze in between Aegis, the 145 and 2, because we overlooked her at 1.
How did that happen?
We went overboard. Rick, did you have something?
I'm really waiting.
Okay, this will be fast. I have a feeling.
Rick is.
I just want to say she did a real good job this week. I had the sheriff asking for something and just passed them on to Linda, and she took care of them. So.
Does Akers know we're over here? Do we need to let them know we're in here? Or?
They will. Dixie will know because Dixie's running the meeting.
Okay.
I attended a purchasing meeting for grants on Thursday. Don't need to re-say that.
No, you're fine.
Let me grab this, what it's called. It's called White River Emergency Communications Projects. It's for laptops and software for all patrol cars, including our Taney County Sheriff, Branson, Hollister, Rockaway Beach, and Forsyth. It started out, I was thinking just to tell us the paperwork we would need, and really is what it is all the police forces have decided to put their grant money into one thing and go to bid for software and for hardware. In the meeting, it was talked about that since I'm purchasing, everything would run through me money-wise to keep up with everything. But then I was also handed it starts out saying a request for bid, but as he was talking, he was saying things that sounded more like a request for proposal. Mm-hmm. So, and really in the midst, it's both mixed together. So super nice guy. He was a detective that did an excellent job on this, but it just needs to be taken apart and kind of redone. He was asking for ideas, help. There's also, this is for the software, there's also hardware. I wanted to approach you guys because it's so many, you know, Forsyth, Hollister, Rockaway Beach. It's not just Taney County. Mm-hmm. And I appear to be working on this. So before I started any of that work, I wanted this to be something that you gentlemen...
For the whole, not just the county,
right,
you're just, helping also the incorporated areas.
So that's correct.
But you're going to also kind of be the lead person, the whole thing.
We've done similar things to emergency management already. And so when they talk about it, obviously, too, when they talk about it, I don't know if they can be involved. In fact, since the money is going through the county coffers,
I'm good with that. I mean, you got to go through the motion specifically for county anyway, so
right.
It wouldn't be a whole lot of extra just doing the other entities also.
That's correct.
But this doesn't have anything to do with the monies that we've got some of, the communication grant that's been in the works for a year or two.
Yes, it does.
It hopefully does, not to use.
That's the money that we've
some
got.
Right. Okay, so we're going to be working on spending some of those monies proposal. Okay.
Correct.
Through the software part, there's two parts, software and hardware.
Correct.
And everyone's saying, well, we're going to buy the software first, so please work on the RFP for the software because we have grant money.
That's correct.
Okay.
And we're hoping to get more grant money.
Mm-hmm.
We got more applied for.
We're going to get about $450,000. Okay. Probably hoping for getting something up next year. That's one of the questions that Linda will have to deal with.
I have a problem with maybe her involvement. Is it disbursement to those individuals?
Because the individual grants are assigned to each.
Bid process, Danny, so that they satisfy our bid process. Because the city's processes are. Bid processes for the city are not as stringent as they are for the county.
And each city already got its own allocation of money. They're just saying, okay, since we're all going to buy the software,
so it's
have
not
one
just
person.
One lump sum, and we're going to have to be doing.
There will be a larger lump sum that will come through the county. The county will make the purchases and just hand over the equipment.
On the hardware side.
On the hardware side.
Right, but not at this stage. At this stage, she's just gathering the information to get the best price for software. Based off and spending everyone else's grant money.
Correct.
Should we do a motion or just approve it?
I just want your direction.
Okay.
I want to make sure that's okay.
Go for it.
Yep, I'm good with it.
Everybody's happy.
All right. Let's see. I sent you an email. Donna's Carpet, I have that in the paper and on the internet. I will open them at 9:30 on Thursday. I will get that together and have that in front of you next Monday. Rick had mentioned to me that I should ask you guys, are we interested in filing an insurance claim on anything downstairs? Do we?
From the flooding perspective, you mean, or from the other items?
Right, items like that, you know. That,
I understand what you're talking about.
Replace, just something you might want to.
I don't know what our policy is about that. That would be
either.
That would be Connell, right?
To Dixie.
Yeah. Connell, I asked Dixie to start checking into it. I mean, I can't believe I didn't think about that before, but if we're having...
Yeah, if you're going to talk, you have to be close to the microphone, so...
If we're replacing these things because of...
An issue, right?
An issue, I mean, whether it's flooding or what it is, it seems to me like it probably is an insurance issue. So I asked Dixie to kind of check on that, and I didn't know... You know how much we needed to check on that because
we need to see if it's even though we don't have a specific incident though is the problem the specifics
we haven't got anything to grasp hold of yet.
Well, I guess my statement is at this point we at least need to see if that's an option. I mean Dixie, I mean she's at least make a phone call and see if we have an option to do that.
Okay, I think we're talking about two different things here. Just in depth. One is. The actual material replacement.
We're just talking about building costs now and nothing to do with
like health. Drop ceiling and the floors and all that.
Remodeling
costs. Remodeling costs.
Okay. Then the other thing that would be if there's anything that
That's
grass, polo, that's something else.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think that you need to research it, see if it's, it was caused by rain, flooding.
Vandalism.
I'll just have Dixie check it out and tell her, you know, try to get that, we'll go from there. Because I feel like there may be an insurance claim there, and it may not be, I don't know, but we need to find out.
Sounds good. What else, Linda? That it?
I think that's it.
Look like downstairs they're finishing the install of the HVAC unit downstairs. I walked through there.
That's correct.
The tiles are being in Florida. They're probably about half done, maybe. Drop ceiling looked all done.
Great.
Sprinkler system's all done on that system. So, in talking to the guys, I thought, if I'm saying that's the only thing last to buy was the air conditioner unit, mm-hmm. and then the tile we already paid for, and then we can start moving it back in maybe by Friday.
We hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
So that side looked like to be. From that aspect, and then Donna's was just the carpet of that was promised last year, I guess. So, from the previous administration.
Previous administration, there you go again. Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Akers and Arnie, anybody seen them?
Yeah, we're here.
Welcome.
How many do we have online?
Did you want a break before?
No, we're fine, I think. And you can flop down up here.
If you guys could get close to microphones, because we do have 12 people listening.
Hello.
How are you, Dan?
All right.
Eleven. Maybe it dropped already, Dixie. Did you leave a computer on?
So you can tell how many people have you on?
Yeah, I'm going to get more specific. Now I can find out where they're coming from so I can make sure they're outside the courthouse. I can do that. I just don't know. I haven't asked them to do that yet. So.
Okay.
All right.
So you can actually tell exactly?
By IP address. We can find out where they're...
Who's dialed into you. That's mm-hmm. pretty good.
That is neat. Okay, well, thank you guys for giving us some time today. I just wanted to come through and just sort of summarize what we're doing and what the health insurance is looking like at this point and discuss some issues. Talk about wellness, what y'all want to do. I know Jim's working on some stuff. And so, anyway, it's sort of a planning strategy type thing. See what you want, okay? So the first year, and I apologize, I misspelled stewardship. Stewardship, not steward, but anyway, you'll forgive me for that?
Oh.
Okay. Okay. The first handout you've got in there is the thing from Cox Health Plans. And I know every quarter I forward over the experience runs, but you know, you get a quarter and you think, well, we're doing good. You get the next quarter and you're not so sure you're doing good. So this starts with 10-1-08.
We're on this page.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're ahead of me.
Okay.
Okay. Starts with 10-1-08 and it goes through 8-31-08. And basically... 8-31-09. Okay. So you can see it breaks it out. And I mean, I'm not going to go through every line of this. You can see, but on the medical, the combined paid at this point has been $1,021,119.22. Okay, follow me? It's right down at the bottom.
Yep.
Far right hand corner. Okay. Then there's another breakout. It shows you the expense per member per month. The third page on that one shows the actual pharmacy.
Yeah, hold on. I'll make sure I understand this.
Yes.
So we've had that makes up the $1 million payout.
Uh-huh.
We have 11 individuals, is that right? 11 cases made up the $1 million, is that right?
No.
No.
No. Where are you seeing those?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out.
How many lines are right?
Oh, okay. Those are months.
That's the month.
Those are months.
Yeah, that's by the month. I'm sorry, Jim.
Okay.
No, okay. But so that's what you had so far. And then the next page is the pharmacy. They break that out. They show you what's medical, which is you're in faculty or you're in facility, your physicians, you're out of facility, those sort of things. That's the medical. And then they break it out in the pharmacy, the prescription drugs. And you had a total of 165,680.
And it's pretty average. I mean, it looks like it's ranging 11,000 to 16,000 per mm-hmm. month. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the previous page, we've had two major months, which was March of this year and August of this year. We had major medical paid out. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we know what that, do we get a breakdown of that?
Yes. If you keep going, that next page is what you have paid in. So you paid in $1,438,000.
Okay.
Okay. And this, I think, is what you're looking for.
Yes.
These list some of the diagnoses and show you what's been paid for each one of those. Now, because of HIPAA, they don't tell us who that is anymore or anything like that, but it, you can just get an idea what you're running.
Let me just make sure here. So we've got, guys, you may have been through this, so let me just, this is the first time we've done this. So the number three is diabetes related.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
So 5% of the claims are diabetes related.
Yeah.
What was the other question? Line two is basically something broken.
Yeah, that was probably an accident. It says a fracture of an ankle. The first one I would think is some sort of cancer because it's got chemotherapy in it.
So let me ask you a question. Can we get a breakdown of number of cases by category?
Yes.
Is that possible? So basically of the line, like diabetes, that's sometimes that's like through a wellness program that can be prevented or be reduced.
Yes, absolutely.
But am I talking about, is that one individual or if that's 20 people?
Right.
I'd like to know how many incidences.
Right. When we get the actual, when they send us the renewal information, there's a whole lot more than this. And it does break it down by the number of cases in there. So
since we've talked about wellness, and I'm doing all the question asking right now, could you also go through there, this list, and see if you had a wellness program, what other categories, what other line items might be affected in a positive way? That makes sense? If we had something else?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, there are a lot of things, and matter of fact, there's another one that I've got for you that's going to give you some more ideas. But, you know, you can't prevent diabetes, but you can help people get better with
it
and control it. And so your heart conditions,
sure,
your diabetes, even some cancers, basically.
Possibly, yeah.
Smoking and stuff like that. So those are things that can be helped control through the wellness program.
Okay. How come these areas, these diagnoses are 45% and then there's 54% of other?
Right.
Why are these listed and not the other?
These are everything above 10,000.
This is the large. This adds up to 1% or more.
Gotcha. Yeah, these are your large. These are above 10,000.
Everything else is less than 1%.
A lot of these are individuals and there might be one or four or five that's more than one.
Right, yeah. You could, now some of them are going to be a single person, like you said, but mm-hmm. Several of them are going to be.
Because if you had it down by number of cases, then we could rank it by cases versus by, you ranked it by dollar figure.
Right. And you sort of like know the number of people that are actually involved in each one of those things. So
gotcha.
I understand. Yeah. We can do that. Are you making notes for me? Okay.
All right.
Okay, and then the next one, it just shows the different prescriptions that were paid and in the dollar amount of those prescriptions that were paid.
Now, some of these are cholesterol-related medicines.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Could you highlight those for me?
Plavix is one for sure.
I mean, once again, back to the wellness. Uh-huh. I mean, people are paying prescriptions. If we had a wellness program or something, a little more emphasis on that, we could possibly see a reduction in prescription usages, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have to highlight prescription use? Okay. Okay. And then the last page just shows you, that's not a big deal, but it just shows you what percentage, the first one there that was inpatient or facility, and then what percent was physicians, and then the other part right there. So it's just to give you an idea. But that's where you're at. I compare that with the what you paid in and what they paid out. You're running about 82%.
How does that play out in the world?
Last year you ran 73%. You got
More unhealthy this year.
You've used it more, but not necessarily more unhealthy. It's just that the trend they count. You know they Cox trends at 12.1 a year, which that's for 12 months. And then when you pull it forward, then you're actually trending for 16 months. But so some of that's trend. You know, it's not necessarily, and when I say trend, it means it costs more. Might not be any more unhealthy, but the doctors and hospitals are costing more. Yeah.
Medical costs, expenses were up 5%.
Right.
What is the average of another business this size? I mean, do they normally put 80%, use 82% of what they pay in?
Well, I will put it this way. Last year, you know, you ran 73%, and once they trended that and everything like that, you got a, ended up being a 4% increase after we got two of it removed. So I'm expecting that you will get an increase this time.
Another increase?
Yeah.
Of what?
Just my guess, because I'm not actuary, but I'm thinking somewhere around 10.
10% increase? Let me ask you a question. I was under the understanding this plan, you guys, your plan is expires the end of this year. We have to do a bid process or whatever. Is that, I mean, do we have to rebid the health care? I heard that, not heard, I've done the research and found that this was through the end of this year. Is that correct?
We actually bid this last year.
Okay.
We went out and we got bids from Mercy and Anthem, and of course the Cox Renewal.
Okay.
And they were not competitive.
Okay.
So you don't have to bid it, but every 3 years. My thought was, because I am your agent, is that I would go out and get quotes for you just to see if this is competitive. And I don't have the renewal yet, so I don't really know what their bid, I mean, you know, what it's going to come in. I'm just guessing. But
you're saying that we're going to go up potentially 10% next year. We went up 4% this year. And that's a 14% increase over basically that two-year process period. I mean, I would think that we'd want to at least look.
We definitely, I mean, and that's what I do.
Right.
It's just, you know, I can go out with the experience and with the census and everything like that, and they can tell me what they would be charging.
Okay.
You know.
Do they take into consideration, I mean, the insurance company, I don't know, like we've got 45% of this lays within, I'm gonna estimate within 20 individuals.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, and a lot of these things are, I mean, I hope we got two ankle breaks here. I seen on there a lumbar replacement and things like that. You're how do they compare that to be a trend of insurance adjustment if it's accidental?
Okay. Accidents, they will probably give us credit for that because it's not, you know, an accident. Now, the medical stuff like that, they have the ongoing. They can see who's still receiving treatments for all the medical. But an accident, and especially if it were something like a car accident or something like that, that's something that's a catastrophic thing that happens once.
Okay.
May not happen again.
Do they have a, when you're, then I guess I don't need to ask these questions, but I want to figure out how we're going to come up with this. Like you said, the 14%, but do they have a high, low, medium as far as if you take away the catastrophic, do they do away with it and do away with the lower side and then come up with a median in the middle? Is that the way we would come up with a
You pay
rate?
A pooling charge, and any claims over 100,000 is your pooling point. Any claims are forgiven. You didn't have them, okay? Mm-hmm. Because you're paying for the pooling charge, which is reinsurance. But anything under that, then the underwriter will look at that. And last year, I think he forgave $37,000.
Yeah.
That was something that maybe
it was
either a claim that somebody left or was no longer on the plan, or it was an accident or something that, you know.
That's where I was going, because
yes.
I thought we had
yes.
forgiveness
you
for
did.
Something last year, and I couldn't remember back.
And so, you know, it could be that you know, that fracture of the ankle, which was $63,000, those are some points that we'll use when we get that renewal, is to go back and say, you know, this was an accident. This, you know, this you shouldn't be charging them for this. You know what I'm saying on that. So there are some negotiating points in there for them. Okay.
Going back to the bid part.
Yes.
So you're going to go out and get quotes.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing the same thing as a bid primarily?
Yes. Last year you had me go out and we posted it in the paper.
Right.
And we got bids. Okay. The public entities have to do that. I think it's written in law every 3 years. But I can do that for you and get those, you know, get those three bids in and see what they are at this point.
Another way of saying that you're going to go get us the best price, whether we go out for the,
yes,
the bid that satisfies that, since we don't have to.
Right.
Okay.
That is that okay? I mean, you
is
guys,
that all right?
I mean, I just want to make sure that we're keeping the best price. I mean, if I think I'm going to get a 10% increase next year, and if Danny's right, if we only had 20 individuals is causing the problem out of 300 employees, I would want to make sure I'm looking at the best policy, because I think that 20 people are influencing the entire price. That would, to me, doesn't seem fair. So.
Well, it doesn't. There's nothing.
If it's 20 people, it may be 50. I don't know the answer.
Jim, one year we had three cancer patients.
Right.
And it really just drove things.
Oh, I understand.
You know, and then we've actually been working this down to a lower level each time, each year, until if it's 10% this year, it'll be.
Yeah, and I don't mean to scare you. I'm just looking at the way when they trended it and when they put the pull and charge stuff in, and I just did it manually. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the underwriter will actually look at those particular claims, and he may, you know, if that accident, he may take the whole 67.
Well, but, I mean, we're setting budgets, and we're looking at a reduction in tax revenues next year, and then here we are maybe getting a 10% increase on insurance. We need to make sure that we're prepared for that,
right,
from a budget perspective. So, I mean, going through the process doesn't cost us anything. So.
No, that's right.
Or very little, so.
Okay. Well, I will do that. Mm-hmm. I will send that out. I'll get the updated census from Dixie, and we'll go out and see what. And I've got the experience already, so we can go do that and get it done here pretty quick. We will have the actual renewal in. I told him we want it by October 1st, so we should get that in for a couple of weeks.
Right.
But in the meantime, we'll get this ready to go out and see what everybody else comes in with. So that's that. I wanted to kind of go any other questions on the experience runs?
When do they start and end?
This one starts 10-1 of 08, and it went through 8/31 of 09. That was, you know, we're in September now, so they don't have anything else.
Right.
And that was the actual experience period that Cox used last year. Mm-hmm. Of course, they don't use the 1 year. Pardon me. They don't use just the 1 year. They use the year before and the year before that too.
Okay.
They do away.
So this year's will end 10/31. So which is 10/30.
No, it goes through December 31st far as the benefit period year.
Right.
Y'all are a calendar year.
Right.
On your policy.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. I misunderstood you there.
Which is she'll have your renewal numbers come up here in the next couple weeks.
Right.
Okay.
To begin working on it, Danny. It's worth.
Yeah. Before budget set, so.
Yeah. Well, and, we see that, and then we go out to bid and get, you know, the other numbers. And if you do decide to make a change, you know, we have to get that done before January.
Yeah.
So.
I say look at Dixie's face whenever she say that. So.
Okay. Well, the other thing I wanted to talk with you about is the wellness promotion plan. And like I said, I know Jim's working on some things. You probably all are. But this is just a little bit of a synopsis of some things that can be what they call modifiable risk factors. Cholesterol, Jim's way ahead of me on that one, cigarette smoking, high blood pressure, an uncontrolled diabetic condition, overweight, and lack of exercise. Those are all modifiable. The modification is just getting the employees engaged to do it. Okay? So it goes through several things like that. Pulmonary and respiratory diseases, which you've got some of those in there, but cigarette smoking, occupational exposures, air pollution exposures, things like that. Whatever we can do to get that lower will make people healthier. That's one of those things. And then cancers and so forth. So y'all can look at that, but a wellness health promotion benefit, the tangible benefits on it, and I'm on the second page. But you can have reductions in sick leave absenteeism. You can have reduced use of your health benefit, which keeps your rates down. You can have reduced workers' compensation, and you can have reduced injury experience. So those are all tangible. The intangible benefits would be improvements in employee morale, increased employee loyalty, less organizational conflict. I don't know about that, but more productive workforce, and improved employee decision-making ability. So you can tell I'm into wellness. I think that it's a really good thing, and we need to do that. But so those are just some things to give you an idea. And there's actually some examples in here of a medium, just a low end level, if employer contribution or employer participation in it, a mid level, and then a high level. And just depending on where the county, you know, wants to be able to get into it. But they say that in order to get your employees engaged, you've got to have incentives. And, you know, there are certain different things about incentives. You could actually have two plans. You have two plans anyway. But if you have a lower plan and maybe everybody's eligible for that lower plan and the county pays for it, but you could have a more expensive plan, and people, only those people that would be eligible, unless they wanted to pay for it for themselves, only the other people that would be eligible with the counties paying for it would be those people that agreed to do these things, to do the health risk assessment. You can't tell people to have to quit smoking, but you can ask them to do a smoking cessation class. You know, there's just things like that. Those are big incentives and things. And then, of course, there's other incentives like gift cards and maybe an afternoon off if they do certain things and stuff. So
one of the things I've talked to Vicki and Dixie about was the requirement of the health risk assessment. My previous employer, we had two policies, and your health risk assessment was not required, but if you didn't take it, you didn't qualify for the lower price. Because what happened is we didn't have a very good participation rate for the health risk. A lot of people are in denial of their health conditions. You know, here we are trying to, you know, but what we got, what, 40?
I think it's about 50 or 50.
So we got about 12, yeah. 12, maybe 20% participation, where we should have had a higher percentage. Mm-hmm. And by strictly saying you don't qualify for the lower rate, we would get a, because it's a free service that we have, and we would be doing some of these people a favor by just saying, hey, here's the assessment. I think some people are in such a denial that they don't even want to try to improve because they know it's bad. They just don't know how bad it is. So they'd rather just not know. And mm-hmm. we have, I think, by just at least in giving them that incentive, we would at least get maybe 100% participation. We were in the 90s in the companies I've worked for because just strictly saying, you don't have to, but if you do, you qualify. If you don't qualify for the lowest price. That way, we're doing them a service by saying, here's a free service to let you know how bad things are. And maybe they can just pick one thing, if it's, you know, whatever it could be. But that's something I talked to both of them about recently was...
That's getting to be, a lot of companies are doing that.
Right.
Can we do that in government, you think?
Oh, sure.
Sure you can.
Sure, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. The only thing you can't do is you can't say you're going to charge somebody less for taking the health risk assessment, but you got the two plans. This is the base plan.
And we're not requiring it. Yeah, we're not requiring it. We're just saying that's a qualification of.
To do it. So, yeah, you can do that.
But it's still going to be the same health plan.
We have two plans now.
You have two plans. We may want to work them a little bit, you know, make sure that, in other words, and it can save the county, you know, money, because if you're paying for this lower plan for everybody that doesn't do this, and if they don't do it, then you're going to pay less, you know. But the ones that do it are going to get the better plan.
And it's for their better interest. I mean,
I mean,
some people just don't want to, they know they're unhealthy, they just don't want to know, and that's not fair to just ignore it that way.
That's true. It's just true. Have you got any other ideas?
I got lots, but this is not the format right now. For that. I don't have it all printed out and ready for it yet.
Okay.
So.
Anyway. Oh.
Okay. Give them a quarter and take a cigarette.
Well, you've already made it a smoke-free facility, and how far do they have to get before they can...
Not far enough.
Not far enough. Okay, well, that might be something else to think about. Then.
25... over there, it's like 6 feet.
Oh.
we need to paint a stripe on the sidewalk, so...
So are we hearing that you folks are in agreement that you'd like to look at getting this health assessment put together and looking at a way to get the people engaged.
Well, We've already talked about, it's been a topic of conversation now for over a month or now. We had certain employees in Road and Bridge that hadn't missed a day's work in, what, 2 or 3 years, 4 or 5 years or something like that. So we've tried to think of ways to reward those that, but that's where Chuck came up with the question, I'm sure, can we do that in government? Because that, there's a fine line between bonus and...
Oh, yeah. And then, we've already done health risk assessment this year.
We have one for next spring. We got in January, we can do it again. But the part of the thing is we're looking at our sick leave policy also.
Uh-huh.
That's another thing is that, like Daniel was saying, we've got people who are healthy, but we don't have any incentive for them to be healthy. Zero. They don't get to cash out, nothing. Yeah. So all they do is have these big months of hours that really has no reward to them. So there is no reward within the county to be healthy. We don't care. I mean, we're saying we'll give you the days, use them or lose them. And that's not really... I've seen the trend at other companies that there should be a tangible cash value, even if it's 50 cents a dollar on the 25 cents on the dollar, or whatever it may be. Just to tie in that wellness thought is, if you're going to be healthy, there should be a reward to that. Mm-hmm. And we haven't done that in the past. So that's part of the thing. We actually have that on the agenda for Wednesday, is our sick leave policy. We've been working on that for a lot,
that's
45
real.
Days or so.
That's a real hot topic, I guess, would be the best way to talk about it, because it's hard to figure out how you keep from rewarding the people that take advantage of their sick leave every day and the ones that are here.
Yeah, the ones that don't take advantage of it and they lose it.
Yeah, so we...
And Rick had asked me, I got some disability quotes because I wasn't really sure where you guys were looking at, you know, if you were like going to just limit the amount of, you know, the sick leave that the county would be responsible for, or if you're looking, but it sounds like to me you're looking at trying to reward those people that are here every day and don't use
it. We're going to require one of the policies that one of the drafts we've got to now is a minimum, you've got to have a minimum number of hours before you can cash out to start with. And then at a certain point, those hours turn into a dollar figure. You know, that's what we're talking about right now, but still requiring a minimum number of hours to have.
Okay. So. Yeah.
And then the other thing is we have some employees right now who had some catastrophic accidents that ran out, used all their sick, used all their vacation, and now, you know, they're going to come back eventually, but they have no income coming in.
Yeah.
And and the FLMA doesn't give them money that guarantees them a position. And so, you know, how do employees be able to give them hours? Is that a possible? So we looked at sick leave pools, and we've kind of got a draft right now that we're looking at. So,
okay. Well, and if you want to look at it, I think I gave him some ideas what it would cost or whatever to for the county to buy a disability plan that would pay them if they ran out. But,
right.
So, okay.
And that might be the cheapest way to do it too. We've looked at everything.
There's two different things there.
I think Rick sent that over too. So you sent that. I remember reading it from you, Rick. So.
There'll still be two. We'll be limited to two options. Is that right?
We might can get three.
Might can get three. Going back to your idea of benefit.
Of having a better plan and stuff like that. I will go out to all the big carriers and see what I can get on it.
The two plans we've got now is an HMO and a PPO, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you see the PPO as a little more valuable plan?
No.
You can go out of network.
You can go out of network. You can go, you can go out of network. So you could go more places, like, you know, out of state or something like that on the PPO plan and still be in network if it was a network. Right. You know, with the Beach Street or with the PHCS, but and the HMO is strictly here. You know, it's in this way. I particularly like a point of service, which is an HMO with an out of network benefit attached to it. It's HMO with point of service. But so I'll get you several options, and then based on the, you know, what the actual benefit is and what the rates are, and present them to you. If, you know, and I should have those back sometime in October, because I'll go out for them like that. I don't know.
What other needs do you have?
Yeah.
What other needs? What are you working on that that we in the risk management business can help you with.
I mean, I'm working on a couple of things regarding wellness right now. I'm not ready. I haven't got all my information gathered up yet so that I can make a intelligent presentation to the other two commissioners. I've never been in a place where you don't reward healthy employees. I've never worked for a company like that, and it's not intentional. It's where we are as a county, and there should be a reward, a tangible reward, for healthier employees. We should see a benefit as an employer. They should have a healthier lifestyle. There should be a mutual advantage for healthier lifestyles, healthier employees. So getting a tangible dollar figure is a small challenge. And then making sure that we're encouraging that lifestyle here at the county also. So I'm working on that aspect of is where I've been spending my time on that. Some of it's education. I know Branton does health fair. They bring vendors in, and that's been a discussion. I'm doing a little research on that. There's a lot of aspects, but it's from what I've researched and realized, it's more than just one item. It has to be a plan of multiple avenues to improve people's well-being. I mean, you've got to be able to provide the right environment. The policy's got to support that, and all those things. So.
Yeah, on the health fair, and I know Dixie is working on one, mm-hmm. and I'm going to help her with it. But Branson runs into the same thing you guys are running into, getting their employees to participate.
Right. There's got to be a reward or some sort of benefit for them to participate.
Yeah.
In a government, it's obviously we're kind of restricted on how we can do it, but there's still some areas we can do it legally. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. the normal ways we can't through bonuses. There's no such thing as a bonus structure like that yeah. in a government.
Yeah.
But there's other ways we can tangibly reward healthier employees. So that's what I'm kind of working on. I'm hoping to have something to present to everybody in the next 2 weeks, actually.
Okay. Well, and you mentioned a couple of things there, that getting the number of cases and stuff.
Well, that would help me because that helps me quantify what I'm talking about. If we're talking about 20 employees, it really, and that means we've got 280 healthy employees. Well, then the incentive shouldn't, we don't have as bad as healthy as employees that I kind of thought. But if we have 50 people or 100 people that have gone and saw the doctor in the last 12 months, then maybe there's a way for us to. It just depends. I need more information. So that would help.
And we'll have that. Okay.
Commissioner Pendleton, is there anything that comes to mind that, as we sit in the business that we're in, that we can, anything with you that we can help you with? Is there a need there that you...
Can't think of anything.
How about you, Commissioner Strand?
No, I think that, I think you do a good job on trying to provide... best service for the benefits. We have I was going to tell you that I did receive a phone call. I think I talked to you about the pharmaceutical drugs and the moving of one as soon as you got kind of settled in on one medication, they would change you to another. And I got a call from the company. And actually had a long, probably a two-hour conversation with them, with a representative there, and I told them how dissatisfied I was with the fact that they had moved me from some certain prescriptions that were helping me in that area, and then when they put me on a generic or something, and I ended up, having problems. That's the only thing. And I hear that from several of our employees in the company that call me, I guess, is Catalyst or
and
one of those.
As a matter of fact, we just got some things from Anthem the other day saying that they were having a formulary change. It's mm-hmm. it's an ongoing thing with all of the pharmaceutical.
Just about the time you get adjusted to something and say they're similar, should work the same, but
sometimes they don't.
Your system doesn't work the same. So,
while we're in front of you, gentlemen, may we ask your support staff the same question?
Absolutely.
Rick and Dixie, is there anything that we can help you with that falls into our?
I appreciate you guys You know, I can call Vicki anytime and get an answer fairly quickly, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the little seminars you guys put on. I love a lot of those things.
It's good.
Helpful, and, you know, you might send that out. If it's something you think they go through might be interested in, you might send that to them, too.
Okay.
Just, you know, I don't know that they have time, but I've been to two or three of those, and I appreciate it.
Good.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for that input. We appreciate that. Dixie, back. Is there anything that...
You have a pharmacy and a visibility you're working on.
So we appreciate you allowing me to ask that question. Thank you.
Risk, Bob. What risk could they help us with that we got?
What risk?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bob.
From the insurance business. Okay.
We've got buildings, obviously. I mean, but we have insurance on that. We've got the airport. We've got boards, professional liability insurance, bonds, different bonds.
Are there any? Going to the PNC now.
Short-term disability. You mentioned that, didn't you?
Yes. Yep.
We did talk about that a little. Bob. We sure did.
One thing that we have that doesn't involve totally you is this: doctors returning our employees faster than we could possibly consider them to put them in. I know, but that's they want to know. Different
sure.
things that we are having problems with, and that's the reason I said it's not in your court right now. But if there's any help or relief that we could see on such a thing, could make a big difference in decision making for me on different things pertaining to health.
Are they coming back to work too quickly or not quickly?
Well, we send somebody to a workman's comp claim, and they'll put back that they can come back to work whenever there's. Nothing for them to do, you know. There's nothing that somebody with a truck driver with a broke hand or a foot can't do much.
They try to send them back for light duty. And
light
you don't
duty.
Have any light duty. For
light
them.
Duty, and whenever you get what four or five of them, or maybe even more. Or,
I don't mind the light duty so bad. We've had a couple of them sent back to work while they're still on pain medications.
Oh,
wow. Oh, yeah.
In fact, I told them that the employees, I talked to them personally, I said, get off the pain medication as quickly as possible. It can be a problem. And, you know, we don't want you up here until you're off the pain medication.
Okay.
So we've kind of dealt with that.
That would be a...
It would be bad.
I just feel like we get the doctor to be too quick. We're frightened.
Okay. So, there's always environmental.
Yes, there is.
You're getting a
you're good, Bob. I appreciate it. Bob, I think we've got plenty of information.
You got a lot of work around you. Steadily. I mean,
thank
I know
you, Bob, for your input. We'll keep that under advisement.
We don't let him off easy, though. We make it tough on him.
Those are little things that we, you know, we deal with on those levels.
All right. I don't have anything else.
Are we good?
We're good. Okay.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Yep.
If you think of anything else, just let me know, and I'll just work on getting us some quotes and see what goes on there.
Sounds good.
We'll get ready for the bruising. We quote a 10% increase from the...
Well, maybe I'll be wrong and be less, but just wanted you to be
prepared. Yeah, be prepared.
You've done a good job before.
Cool. I think you had a 7 or 8%. Last year, whenever you finally got it worked down to a 4.
It was a 6.
Was it a 6?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
So.
So we may, but we'll be ready. We'll get the others and see.
Well, I appreciate your hard work on it. It's just I know it's something you have to do and go through.
We have 15 minutes, gentlemen.
Right. Yeah, y'all have a break, I think.
All right.
Oh, we do.
We have a 15-minute break right now.
Who's
are we planning to be there in the morning? Recess.
Woo!
Recess.